Joining us now in our studios is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's always a pleasure, Jeff. And just like you just said in your sports report, let's get Eddie Rosario into that All-Star game. Boy, he's just a treat to watch. That guy can throw people out, and he's a ball of fire.
Yeah, and he's got a nice, sweet swing.
He does,
and
yes.
Kind of like Kirby Puckett, that he swings at a lot of pitches.
He makes contact.
And he makes contact.
Yes.
He makes it look
easy.
He's
like 300, right?
We like that, yeah. Hey, let's talk about schools. You had a school board meeting. You're halfway through the summer.
Yes, we are.
I want to say vacation. Maybe vacation, at least for the students anyway, or a lot of the students, but certainly not for those who are working within the school district. I know this is a very busy time of year for you. So let's talk about that. I want to start off by talking about now's a good time to get your school improvement plans together for the 2018-19 school year, and that's you heard some reports on those last night.
Yes, it's as we've talked before, you know, it's, summer brings a different cadence, but it's a very busy time for lots of folks in the school, and one of the things that we start in July is our continuous school improvement plan presentations. And so each school within the district every year, they set goals. They identify strategies that they're going to use to meet those goals, of course, focused on student achievement. And so we heard from both of our 9th through 12th grade buildings last night, the Area Learning Center and Northfield High School, you know, two programs that serve students in 9th through 12th grade in different ways. We know both programs very successful. Northfield High School, you know, routinely rated among the top few percent of high schools in the nation. And as you might remember, the Area Learning Center just a year ago won the Minnesota Association of Alternative Programs Program of the Year. So we know we've got two really high quality programs there, and they provided their school improvement plans, again, focusing on both of, when you get into the secondary realm, of course, the end goal is one of the most important, which is graduation. So both, you know, both entities look at that slightly differently. And when you look at the Area Learning Center, one of the things that students who are at the Area Learning Center, one of the hurdles for them is often attendance. So our Area Learning Center does a lot of unique things to make sure that they are focusing on getting the students to school. And there's a variety of reasons. It's not that, you know, kids aren't wanting to go to school. In fact, a survey last winter showed that 100% of Area Learning Center students felt safe and welcome at their school. You know, but some students have a number of factors happening outside of school, or they need some extra support. So the Area Learning Center focuses on a couple of things. They focus on making sure that if we can get the kids, these kids to our school, which they do a really good job of making sure that they do, then we can really help them achieve credits, which will lead them toward graduation. So their school improvement plan is almost always focused on that. And some of the strategies that they did last year, that they had a very good year in terms of attendance. They changed a couple of trajectories in terms of things that they've typically seen in the past. You know, they started using the social-emotional learning curriculum actually a little earlier than most of our other schools. They really focus on that sense of community. The biggest the Area Learning Center ever gets is about 80 students. So there's this incredible sense of community. And so their school improvement plan is really focused on that connection with students, making sure that students feel safe and comfortable, we can get them to school, and then helping them find every, in fact, one of their goals is that 100% of their students will graduate with a life plan. And what a life plan means is, what am I going to do? Am I going to go into the military? And am I going to volunteer? Am I going to enter the world of work? Am I going to go to college? And so all of those things are present, and they actually keep records of what does each student's life plan say and how did that play out. And so the Area Learning Center is a relationship-based program that is also very much rooted in using data, you know, and statistics to see are they actually accomplishing what they want to. And Daryl Keller, the director at that program, does a fantastic job. And they work very closely with Northfield High School. And Joel Lear, high school principal, you know, he's been in to talk with you about the upcoming flex hour next year. Mm-hmm. Again, they're looking at making sure that students are passing their courses, because what we know, especially in the ninth grade year, if we can get all of as many students to pass all of their courses as possible, that sets a real positive trajectory. And unlike our elementary schools, at our high school, it's a collection of departments, right? And so they look for goals that can cut across all different departments. So they are also looking at a student connectedness goal in terms of they actually do a survey on a fairly regular basis to ask kids, how connected do you feel, you know, to the adults in the school? Because what research tells us, if kids have at least another adult outside their home who they feel cares about them and has their best interest at heart, that does a lot of good things for their future?
You know, a question would be, as you'd mentioned, there are so many, for students, the pressures outside of the classroom are not always the same. They're not always equal.
Yeah.
Many of them have a challenge just getting to school and getting to that learning point. You know, as far as the school itself, you know, where does that stop and where does the home come in? Are there some resources like, hey, you've left the school property now. We want you to do well, but you know this is we can't help you at this, after this point. But are there some resources that are available, and can you do some things to help them?
Well, I think that is something that has dramatically changed in my just over 20 years in public education. There
mm-hmm.
was a day where things stopped at the water's edge. I think one of the things I've seen happen, especially in the last decade, is the fact that we understand that we're going to maybe have to take a few more steps, you know, in that direction to be mm-hmm. providing more support outside of the classroom, because it's very important that we make sure that every kid have that opportunity to be as successful as they can. And so we're trying to meet students wherever they're at. And that's where in Northfield we are so lucky, Jeff, because in some other communities it might be very difficult, you know, to mobilize people to do that kind of work after school. Because, you know, there are only so many hours in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're so fortunate to have outstanding partners like the Northfield Healthy Community Initiative. And if you think about a group that is a partner with the school system, and we work very closely with them, you think about a number of the programs that they've done over the years. Things like the MOST program, if you remember, where they provided a number of statistics, positive statistics, in a variety of modalities on T-shirts and on posters saying, most Northfield students don't engage in risky behavior. Most Northfield students do their homework. I'm just giving you some examples
mm-hmm.
here. So we're very fortunate to have partnerships with groups like the Healthy Community Initiative, which, of course, has helped us with the Torch program and a number of other things. Northfield Promise, which is a local collection of folks who are saying, let's align all of our resources for youth and make sure that they have, you know, whatever they need. One example of that is that this coming year, the Area Learning Center and the Northfield Union of Youth, the KEY, they're going to have a new partnership, because looking at the students who attend both the ALC and the KEY, and how can they potentially look at some things together to best benefit students. So I do think it across the nation, you're seeing the schools take a little bit more of an active role, but there is a limit, Jeff. There is a limit to how much time there is in the day and how many resources we have. But at the same time, as usual here in Northfield, we're very lucky because we have a community that when it sees a need, it activates, it mobilizes, and it makes sure that we can do whatever we're able to do to try to make that happen. So very thankful to groups like HCI, Northfield Promise, in terms of course, all the faith-based organizations that we have in the community who are very supportive of youth. And there's dozens that I'm leaving out, not intentionally, but as I know, we only have so much time, and you know, we could talk about this for quite some time.
Yeah, that is a pretty broad subject. Is there anything else about the school improvement plans that you wanted to mention before we move on?
We'll just be giving a report the next couple of meetings mm-hmm. here in August about the other school improvement plans. We're excited to have those completed before staff come back, so we start the year running in terms of making sure everybody knows what the goals are and what the strategies are that we're going to use them, and everyone working together to try to achieve those goals.
Boy, and that start of the new school year is just right around the corner. The summer's going by fast.
I won't tell you how many days it
is. But they're being counted.
I might get some nasty calls, yes.
Let's talk about the contingency funding was one of the topics that was on the school board agenda last night. Tell us about that.
Sure. So the district's contingency fund, you might read in some other papers across the region the next, you know, month or so that a school district may have gone to their board to hire another teacher or another two teachers because of an increase in student enrollment. And when you do that in a reactive way, you can disrupt your budget because you didn't plan for that. So Northfield Schools, under the leadership of Dr. Chris Richardson years ago, implemented what's called the contingency fund. And it's a certain amount of budget. It's a full-time equivalent budget that allows our administrators to address hot spots in class sizes on an annual basis. We have a class size issue. It's not all through the school district, but there are certain places where there are class size issues that we'd like to address. And some of them pop up over the summer, either through an increase in enrollment or a specialized enrollment in one particular subject area at the secondary. So it's a way that we can budget for some things that we don't know about. And so we had six FTE in that for this coming year. And we just have an interesting collection of things happening. Northfield High School will have its largest enrollment next year that we have seen in many, many years. A very large senior class. It's the largest class in the district, just a little bit above 360. You have a large incoming ninth grade class who is above 300, pushing 340. So you've got the largest group that you've got there. So there's some specialized pieces that the high school needs from the contingency fund to try to minimize, mitigate some class size issues. We also have a large class in coming into fourth grade at Bridgewater that we're putting into five classrooms as opposed to the traditional four. They've been doing that since they were in kindergarten. And so we have about 1.1 FTE left in that contingency fund. However, we have a couple of issues this summer that are all good. We already in this late date here in mid-July, we already have 106 kindergartners registered at Bridgewater Elementary, which anyone who has worked with five-year-olds knows that if you do the math, that's about 27 students in a kindergarten class, and that's, you know, bigger than what we would like. We also are seeing an uptick in enrollment at our sixth grade, and so we're already at 340 students for the incoming sixth grade this year. And those are two key transition points. We understand that there are going to be some classes that are larger because we support some classes that are smaller in terms of just because it's a subject area or something we really want kids to have access to. One of the things that we really look at are these transition points. And so I just gave the board a heads up that we have these issues. We may need to have a little bit more than what was planned in contingency. And again, we're just always trying to be a little bit of a step ahead so that we're being proactive and not reactive. So no decision on that last night, but just giving them a heads up that we have, you know, some of these higher enrollment issues.
Yeah, are you getting those enrollment numbers for next year now? Do you have those yet?
They are rolling in, yes.
Overall, do you expect there to be an increase in students as there, I think there has been for in recent years?
Yeah, over the past several years, the nearly up almost 200 students in the last couple of years. And mm-hmm. And a student enrollment study is a little bit different than a demographic study because if you remember, the demographic study for the community said we'd lose about 200 students over a 10-year period. We're about 5 years into that study. Mm-hmm. But enrollment has shown that we have about 200 students more than we did just a couple of years ago. So Val Murdestorf, our finance director, it's the most important stat that we use to plan is our enrollment. And there are 15 different ways that you can calculate and project enrollment. We use one of the most conservative because we would never want to overestimate the number of students coming because that has a funding impact. So she uses, I think it's the third most conservative enrollment projection. We're showing a modest increase over the next several years. But as you know, years of modest increases, you know, can lead to some more substantial pieces. And mm-hmm. if they would all come in nice, neat little packages and go where we have, you know, more room, it would be all great. But as we all know, that's just not the way it works.
All right. Once again, Superintendent of Schools Hillman is with us. We're talking about school board meeting last night. Let's talk about the bond referendum. The clock is ticking on that. If you need to make the school board needs to make a decision on that by a certain date. Where are you at in that process now of deciding whether or not to, and what components are you looking at now?
Sure. So we spent quite a bit of time talking about this last night, and just going back in history, you know, back in 2014, we started the master facilities plan process that yielded the bond referendum that we held in November, in which the voters said, not ready yet on this one, and so we really listened to that, and we engaged in a lot of discussion with people in the community to get some feelings about that bond referendum, really took those into account. We then had a facilities action team that came forward, 30 members of the community in April that met and gave some feedback to the board. We also recently did a specialized thought exchange in terms of you're familiar with that in the past, and we had about 400 people participate in that. What I'm really excited about is we had the highest percentage that we've ever had of people in the community who don't have children who participated, which was great. Mm-hmm. We sent a postcard to every voter in the district to try to get some of their feedback. So those are all different things that we've done to get to this point. So last night we had three different parts discussing the master facilities plan and the specific potential bond issue in November. The first one was Mark Hayes, who's an architect from ATSNR, who has given us some guidance and some consulting on our projects over the past several years, came in to talk about construction inflation. And so back in March when they did some updates on the numbers, we were looking at a potential bond issue for all the elementary projects. Again, We had a couple people in the thought exchange say you shouldn't be doing anything with the high school. Just want to be clear, we're not doing anything with the high school. There could be some minor pieces with where the district office is now if it moves to Longfellow as part of the plan, which we've talked about before. But just to be clear, this is focused on the elementary projects. And in November, with a various number of things, the projects were estimated at $36.89 million. Mark came to see me a couple weeks ago and said, Matt, we just have a real concern because we're continuing to see construction inflation grow at a rate we have not seen since the late 1970s. And so they actually are suggesting we add an additional $2 million, almost $2 million to the project cost. Number of pieces, labor shortages, tariff potential impacts with supply and those kinds of things. We also had those hurricanes last year that caused $260 billion worth of damage, so really putting a pressure on the steel supply. And then just some uncertainty, as we know, at the federal level in terms of how tariffs and some other economic policy may have an impact. So those things are conspiring together right now to, and they get it from what they call the Engineering News Record Report, and it tracks construction inflation. They've tracked it, I think, since the dawn of time, I believe. So we are now projecting would be a potential bond of $38.81 million. And so Mark just really talked about that and explained why that increased to that particular project, explained that. Then what we did is we took a look at, as we know, this costs money. So what we took a look at is what would the tax impact be? And we worked with our financial consultant, Ehlers, because one of the things we've heard loud and clear from the community is we support the schools over and over again. That's the first thing that people come out with, and we're so grateful for that. And then they talk about how they just want to be very careful about, you know, mitigating and being very careful about tax impact. So we're at a point, and when I come in next time, we can do a deeper dive on this in a couple weeks, Jeff, but they suggested what's called a capitalized interest approach. And so in a capitalized interest approach, you actually bond for more than what the construction project would cost. You use the money, the additional money, to pay the interest on the bond for the first couple of years of the payment of it. And then in the third year, what happens is Bridgewater Elementary, so what would happen is under one of the strategies that the board is leaning in on, there'd be a very minor increase for this particular project to taxes. So an average home in Northfield, $250,000, would see a tax increase in the first year of $27 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That would then maintain until 2023 at that same tax rate, and then taxes in 2024 would drop off when the middle school bond goes off. What happens is you pay that interest for the first couple of years, and then in 2021, taxpayers could see a decrease because that's when the Bridgewater bond falls off, where we would, instead of having taxes drop off at that time, the tax rate would maintain. So it wouldn't go up, it wouldn't go down, it would maintain for a couple of more years, and then taxpayers in 2024 could see their taxes go down for our bond issues, our debt, if you will, for the next several years until this particular project would be paid off in 2038. Now, over time, with this capitalized interest approach, you do pay more over time, about $1 million over time, over the 20 years of the bond.
Mm-hmm.
However, what it does is it brings down the initial investment for the average taxpayer. And so we think that it's the board has some interest in this. We think it's a way that we can provide these facilities for the early learning, because that's a piece we'll be really focusing on. We've talked a lot about what the projects are and the money, but we know this is the focus on supporting early learning, and we know the research is just not even out for debate anymore. If we can have every student have a high-quality preschool to start their career, they can get those foundational pieces in the elementary schools, provide some space relief at Bridgewater and at Sibley, the new building at Greenville Park to modernize that instructional environment. We'll have lots of time to talk about that should the board choose to go forward. But, again, really listening to the community and saying, we understand these things are needed, but how can we do it in such a way that can really help minimize the tax increase, you know, for at least the first several years? And this capitalized interest approach, it's a little counterintuitive. You're bonding a little bit more, people would pay less, and then it really stabilizes taxes over time, which is something we also know the public would like.
Hmm. All right. We're going to have a lot of time. We're a lot of things to talk about, and we'll have to take you some time to do that in the future. We'll be, I'm sure, talking with you and members of the school board about this as well. But right now, we're out of time, so we've got to move on.
Have we ever not been out of time, Jeff?
All right. Superintendent Hillman, thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Matt Hillman, Superintendent of Schools for Northfield School District. Terry's in with local news in just a moment. News at a side of sports. Tim McNiff on the way.